There we go. Good morning. Just to let you know a little bit about myself, every time I put on the mic and turn on the power and I'm gearing up here, you know, I feel as though, boy, you better say something that glorifies the Lord here, you know. It gets me a little nervous putting all that stuff on, but God's amazing, isn't he? He's taken you and I from darkness. He's taken us from a place of unbelief. He's taken us from a place of sin, rebellion against him and his way, rejection of his word. He's taken us from a self-sustaining, self-governing person and brought us to the foot of the cross, brought us to the feet of the most sovereign and most high God. And he's taught us, and he's loved us. He's shown us mercy. He's given forgiveness. And, you know, all of this and so much more is what Jesus did 2,000 years plus ago when he was born into the world. He made a way. He broke the darkness. He came to set the captives free, you and me. He came to deliver us from deception and lies about what life was back then. And he's brought us into the light and the glory of Christ to teach us what life truly is and what God holds for us in the future. Amazing, wonderful, powerful God. So today, I want to thank you and Pastor Dan for inviting me and inviting us, our fellowship, to come and worship with you this morning. It's always a pleasure, always good to be here and talk with you good folks. And know that this bond of friendship, this bond of fellowship that Jesus has struck in our hearts, even that is different than the friends and the relationships we had prior to the cross of Christ. We are children of God. God has a plan for every one of us. God watches over us. God helps us. God loves us. And so we bring all that together here at our worship service and we try to bless the Lord. We try to give him our best because he has given us so much more, hasn't he? So thank you, Lord, and thank you, friends, for inviting us, and bless the Lord for all of us being together today. And I pray, Father, that as I open up your word, that you would bring some light and life out of it. That this message, I think, is one of encouragement, one of assurance, one of revealing who you are and how you work in our lives, so that we can feel safe, so that we can feel your presence, so that we can know a little bit more deeply how close you are to us, how much you love us, and what you have in store for us. So I ask for that blessing over myself and for all who are here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if you got ahead of me and looked at your bulletins, you know that we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to be reading shortly chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. And this particular message from this passage I was planning on sharing with our folks this evening at our service, usually at 1 o'clock. And it's part and parcel of a series of messages that we've been sharing concerning Christmas, concerning the birth of the Messiah, concerning that great divine intervention of the holy God and his heavenly host proclaiming that the one who was promised all the way back to Genesis 3:15 had finally come into the world. And that Mary should call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And so this message, I hope, glorifies God and helps us to see a little bit more deeply that there is a plenitude of Scripture that reminds us and that points towards Christmas. And after the birth, the death, the resurrection of Christ, there is a multitude of Scriptures that speak to us about what God's plan is for those who believe in the Messiah, the child born to be King and Savior. And all of this is part of our Christmas celebration and remembrance of the first coming of our Lord. So let's begin. Let's read the passage here. Deuteronomy 18:15-19. The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire any more, or I will die. And the Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So the title of this message is God Will Raise Up a Prophet. God will raise up a prophet. It is his will to raise up men, women, here on earth, to speak for him, to speak for him. And this is an amazing thing in itself, to think of a God who is sovereign over all of the universe, who dwells in a place that you and I probably have not seen. Some have, but I know I haven't. But we have what these other prophets that have gone before us, we have what they've written down for us to see and believe of something about the place where God dwells. It's amazing, isn't it, that this heavenly Father and the Son of Man, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit reside and watch over the universe, the creation, the earth, the world that he created for his good pleasure and for his glory. And God decides and God chooses to speak to men and to speak to women, a voice from heaven, possibly not seeing the face, possibly not knowing the form, but most definitely hearing the voice of God. And God spoke to the man and woman in Eden and made a promise. And God spoke to Abraham, you know, many years beyond that, promising a people, promising a nation, promising many nations, promising a land to live in. God spoke to Abraham and he believed. And then out of Egypt, God calls up Moses. God is moving in a powerful way. He's moving in your life in a powerful way as well. Not only has he called you out of darkness because of your faith in Christ, but he has gifted you. He has sent the Holy Spirit. He has sent the power of God, the person of God, to come and dwell in you so that you now can be formed in the image of Christ, so that you now can be called children of God. You are his children. He has a plan for you. He wants to use you just as he used Moses to speak for him, So how did God raise up Moses? See, God raised Moses up to be a prophet. He had a purpose for this young child. And, you know, we want to recap some of the history because the passage says that Moses told his people, God will raise up a prophet from among his people. He's speaking of Israel. He's speaking of the people that God has chosen. He's speaking of those that he has a plan for that ultimately would bring in the promised child, the seed of the woman from Eden. The answer to all covenants that God has made through the history timeline of human life here on earth. Jesus Christ is the one. And so that truth has got to be proclaimed. It is God's purpose and intention that all those who love him, all who believe in him, all who hope in his promises would speak for him. So you and I are in a very special place before the God of heaven and earth. And so was Moses. And yet he did not know it, did he? At the time, the Pharaoh of Egypt was killing and murdering the children being born, the Israelite children being born in Egypt while they were in bondage. 400 years of bondage. But God saved that child, right? He was placed in a reed basket with tar, and his parents and his sister had to let him go. They didn't know what God had in store for him, and neither did Moses. Neither did Moses until God spoke to him. And God told Moses, as he desired to know the God who appeared as a flaming bush, but in that power, in that glory, in the revelation that God chose to give Moses, nothing burned. And Moses spoke with God face to face. He was a prophet, a man of God, who heard firsthand the words of God. And he desired to speak those words. But in his heart, he was a humble man. And he said, but Lord, I'm not eloquent. I cannot speak. You know that I stutter. You know. He had so many reasons why he couldn't understand or fully believe that the God of heaven and earth, the God who created all things for his glory, would choose him. But you see, God chooses the weak and makes them strong. God chooses those that he will in order to speak for him. And so Moses saying that, I am weak, you know I cannot speak. How in the world, in essence, he's saying, how in the world can I be a prophet for you, a man who can speak for you, Lord? And God said, I will teach you, and I will put my words in your mouth. Praise the Lord. Everyone sitting here today is a Moses, in essence. Everyone here today, either now is saying, or has said at some point in time, Lord, how can I? You know I'm a sinner. You know that I stumble. You know that I fall. You know I'm uneducated. You know that I don't have words that will captivate an audience. You know all these things, Lord. Why you choose me? And God tells us today, by grace, through your faith, I have sent the Holy Spirit. He will teach you, and he will speak through you. What a comfort to know that sharing the things of God and walking in a place to bring glory to God in this dark world does not rest on our shoulders, but God has empowered us and given us the helper that we need to do just that. So God empowers Moses to speak for him, and he tells him, I will teach you, and I will put my words in your mouth. So let's take all of that now, if you will, and bring it to the first couple verses here, verse 15 and 16. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, and you shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire any more, or I will die. Here, the people of Israel have been delivered. And they've been wandering in the wilderness under God's sovereign control, and they're making their way to the promised land that was given by oath, by covenant, from God to Abraham so many hundreds of years prior. And as they were making their way, the nations of the world around Israel were very visible, very audible. And the dangers and the temptations of the way of life that these nations lived was working against the people of Israel. Because just prior to these verses, you'll see that there's a warning from God about people who will practice divination, who will practice witchcraft, sorcerers, all kinds of black power. Dark power in this world, all around the people of God. And Moses knows, because he's been told by God, you will not cross over, you will not enter the promised land. And so he's looking around them, he knows that his life is coming to a close, and he's trying to prepare the people of God, Israel, to move forward according to God's will. So Moses saw the need. Moses saw the need for God to raise up a prophet once he was gone. Raise someone up who would speak to God face to face. Raise someone up who would hear the words of God and then have the strength and the courage to speak forth those words, even if it meant rejection like Moses suffered, even if it meant ridicule like Moses suffered. He was looking for one. And he knew that one was coming, he just didn't know when, who would speak the words of God to his people. And then in verse 16 it says, This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God. So he's prophesying. Moses the prophet is saying that sometime in the future, God will raise up a prophet like himself for you. And he's saying that this is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God. No more would the nation of Israel be called to Mount Sinai and have such rigid parameters set by God. Otherwise, you will die. And so as the people encamped around Mount Sinai and Moses went up and spoke to God face to face, they were able to hear his voice. And they heard and they saw a powerful, glorious God speaking from heaven. And they were frightened. And they did not want to hear his voice anymore because it made them tremble. It made them fall to their knees. They realized that they were sinners. They realized that they're grumbling and their hidden arguments against what God was doing in Moses and through Moses was seen by the Heavenly Father. And that he had all power and authority to bring an end to all rebellion and rejection if he so chose. But by grace he let them live. And he let them realize in their hearts and in their minds that they need to change. They need to see that God has done glorious things in their lives. And they need to humble themselves. And they need to believe. And they need to follow. he who God has placed in their midst to lead them. And so, this is according to all that you asked the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die. The one that Moses was speaking of, the prophet that he was speaking of, that God the Father would raise up to speak for him, to speak for the government of heaven, for the people on earth to live by. He was speaking about the Son of God who would come in human flesh, one who could be approached, one who could be talked with, one who would laugh with you, one who would eat and praise God with you, one in whom you could call friend, one in whom you could call rabbi, one in whom you could see was one of your own only. He was and is the Son of God. Prophetic word spoken by Moses to the people of Israel in that day, waiting for the answer or the fulfillment of that prophecy. Who would it be? Who would the prophet be that God would raise up to be like himself, Moses, and lead the people? And then, in verse 17, the Lord said, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded him. So God is consistent. He will raise up a prophet to speak, and he, not the prophet, but he will put the words in the mouth of those he chooses in order to speak for him, in order to speak forth truth, in order to glorify him as the God of heaven and earth. If we were to move, say, from around 1400 B.C. to the time of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah God raised up to speak for him. And Jeremiah, Jeremiah said that God will raise up a shepherd. God will raise up one who will lead this people in righteousness. So we see two things. God is always moving, the God of heaven always intervening in the lives of people living here on earth, those specifically who love him and who hope in him, and he gives them words to speak to his people. This is very important for us, for the people in the past, and the people going forward. Those who believe in the Lord and love him should be speaking the truth, should be looking for opportunities, should be praying and asking their God and Savior to show them the way in which they can be used, to show them the way in which they can speak forth truth. Why is that important? In Moses' day, there's all kinds of religions, there's all kinds of thoughts being expressed by people who don't believe, who have no faith in God, and that works against the people who are carrying their faith in Christ, carrying their faith in the God of heaven and earth. It happened in Moses' day, and it was happening in Jeremiah's day. The nations of the people around Israel at that time, already in the promised land, already having a temple constructed in order to worship God, had fallen away. They were tempted and fell away from the truth. And they were believing in, and they were worshiping the gods of the nations around them. And God was bringing judgment on this people. God was going to sack Jerusalem. And God was going to lead those who believed in him, those who were faithful, he was going to lead them into exile. And Jeremiah saw this because God revealed it to him. And Jeremiah said, because God revealed it to him, there will be a day coming for this nation in which God will raise up a righteous branch, raise up one who will speak forth the words of God, raise up a shepherd to lead this people. And of course, we know he's speaking about Jesus the Messiah. Then, in Isaiah proclaims the child born to be king, born to rule God's government, born to rule with power and authority with the words of God over the people, both Jew and Gentile, in this world. And so the child was born, and God the Father began to raise him up, began to raise him up to lead the people in truth and in righteousness. Remember, God is still working in such a way that he's raising you up. You are his child. He's raising you up to speak truth to others, to be a prophet for God, to speak forth truth, to pray and believe in such a way that when you ask, God will answer. And he will speak to you, and he will reveal the things that he has planned for you. And when he does, you are faced with the choice. What will I do? Will I be like Moses? And in spite of all my failures, in spite of all my weaknesses, will I go forth and speak for God? In spite of ridicule, persecution, losing my friends, losing family members, being shunned because I dare speak for God, will you do that? Will you speak for him? Or will you hold your faith inside? And I'm not doubting anyone's faith. But what I am saying is God's got a purpose and a plan for each of us, and it is to take the grace he's given you and the gifts that he's bestowed upon you and within you through the Holy Spirit and use them for his glory. And Jesus commissioned us all to go and share the truth. So, God's raising up his only begotten Son. When we read through the book of Luke in chapter 2, we see that the child grew in wisdom and stature. God was raising him up. The Father was speaking to his Son on earth. And we see that throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, he was always getting before the Father, always praying, always revealing to us that there is a connection through him between the Father who dwells in heaven and the people who live here on earth, and all those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ have been given power and authority through the Holy Spirit to have and enjoy the same relationship that he had when he walked on earth. And that is that you can speak to God and he will listen, but he will also answer and speak to you. And when he does, what will you do? Will you be like Jesus? Will you go forth and speak the words of truth that God has given you? Will you go forward and do the things that God has called you to? Or are you like many in the church who nestle themselves down and sit in a place of worshiping God but never going forward to speak what to do? Because of all the reasons Moses had and so many more. God's calling this church. He's calling us, the living stones of the church. Move forward. Move forward. And bring the words of truth to others. The Father was raising up his Son to be a prophet, to speak the words of God. Now you and I, we know that Jesus was more than a prophet, Savior, King, eternal High Priest. Okay, but we don't have time to go through all those things. We just want to focus on speaking the word of God. I encourage you that when you have time, read the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 12, where Jesus proclaims himself to be the light of the world, and follow that dialogue, follow that communication that Jesus has with the religious of the day and the disciples who are watching and listening and learning. You know, somewhere in there are some very profound truths in which Jesus is proclaiming his deity, but in doing so, he's also telling those who are not believing in him and who have no room in their hearts to bear the words that he's saying, he tells them a straightforward truth. He tells them, I know who I am, and I know where I've come from. I have come from my Father, and I speak my Father's words, telling them that he's speaking. He has limited himself to speak what the Father has given him to speak so that he can carry out the Father's will and plan of salvation so that all could hear and all could be saved if they would believe. I have come from my Father. And then he tells them, you are of your father, the devil. Do you know that? Right? I want you to read that. I mean, that's not a command. You know that. But I want you to go away with something. Something that in your own time, in your devotional reading with the Lord, he can impress upon you what I'm trying to at least give a grain of knowledge and understanding to. There's a God in heaven who's alive. And he sent his son, and the promise is that if you believe in him, you'll come alive. And you'll hear his voice. And you can walk with him. And you can speak with him. And he will guide you and lead you into all truth. And then he'll give you a door of opportunity. Finding me. As I'm re-hitting these verses, he's saying, "Tell them about the parable of the talents." And we're not going to go there, but you know it. Everyone who believes, God has blessed, God has given so much, and one individual person here in this parable. Maybe the faith was just small at the beginning, right? Just a mustard seed. He gets one talent, but he does nothing with it. Don't be like that. Believe. Trust God. Walk not in your power, but take a deep breath and believe God's walking in me and God is leading me. And you know what he's given you. You know the gifts that God has given you. He intends for you to share that. Glorify him. Speak the word he's given you or do the things that he's called you to do. Let the life of Christ shine out of you and touch other people's lives that are still in the darkness of this world, that are still following lies of deception, leading them to worship other gods. Be useful in God's hands to bring an end to that. Very important. And if you're debating how important it is, then we must go to verse 19 in the passage. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name. Now God is speaking about his son. He's speaking about the prophet that he's going to raise up that's like Moses here. He's saying, it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he, I'll say he, meaning Jesus, shall speak in my name, which Jesus said, I have come to speak the words of the Father. God says, I myself will require that rebellion and rejection of that individual. We have limited time here right now. That's not a good place to be. You do not want to stand before the Lord where he's requiring it of you. Explain your rebellion and your rejection. Explain that I have showed mercy and forgiveness and brought you out of darkness and filled you with my spirit. Explain why you did not listen to my word. You did not go. You did not do the things that I called you to do. God will require it of us. But on the other hand, those who love the Lord, those who know and believe that without Jesus, I was lost. I was in darkness. I was a sinner with no way out. Keep trying to prove to myself there's something good about me, and I'll try to do those things and failing and falling flat. I needed a Savior. I needed someone I could trust in. I needed truth. I needed something, someone to believe in. And so did you. We're all here because God moved in such a way to destroy the darkness and let the light and life of Christ shine on us one day with such truth and drawing that we receive Him as our Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, but anyone who would give that much to me, even while I was sinning, I owe him my life. I own all that I have. So do you. And God has revealed the ways in which we can give it back. Speak forth the words of truth. Go and do the things He's called you to. God is still raising up prophets. He's raising up you and I to speak for Him. We're Christians. We are now children of God. Wonderfully, miraculously, God is molding us and transforming us more into the image of His Son. If we want to walk in the image of Christ our Lord, then we will obey and follow Him and His way and His truth. And we, like Him, will speak forth the words of truth the Father has given so that others might live. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do those things that we know we just couldn't do without God's help. We have all that we need to go forth and be a child of God. So in closing, I would just ask you, if you would, just bow your head in prayer as I pray. And if God has struck a chord in your heart with this message, then let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this body. We thank You for this body of believers You have drawn out of the darkness of the world around us. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that by our placing our faith in You, You and the Father have sent the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us, to teach us, and to place the words of God in our mouths. Lord, I know there are some here who have missed opportunities. I myself have missed opportunities over the years. Forgive us for that, Lord, and strengthen us in the Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear and strength now in the Holy Ghost that when we see and when we hear opportunities before us, that we'll be prepared to stand up and speak for You. And there might be young Christians here. There may be those who've been holding back. They feel as though, Lord, that You have prompted them. They feel as though maybe this was an opportunity. I don't know. Lord, help me. I wish I just knew when the doors were open so that I could step in and be used of You. I don't care if I make mistakes. I don't care if I don't speak glorious words, Lord. You know my heart. I love You. I want to be used of You. I want to be like Jesus. So I pray, Lord, for those that You would bless them today, that You would strengthen them in the Holy Spirit. Lord, that You would breathe a fire and a flame into them and around them. And that they would be empowered by You. And that they would be ready, looking forward to the next opportunity so that they might step out, so that they might begin this powerful walk with You, being a minister of the truth, after the prophets and after Christ Jesus our Lord. Let this be a year, Lord, that we are purposeful in doing and in saying things that glorify You. that the name of Jesus would be magnified by our own lips more and more. And let our prayers be answered, Lord. Let our prayers of serving others be answered so that we have these opportunities, that our joy would be a little bit more complete this coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.